Narayanam Namaskritya Adaram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 23, Chapter entitled The Song of the Avanti Brahmana, Text number 3 onwards. Na tata tapyate vidda Uman banais tu mamagai Yata tu danti mamasta Yasatam paruṣe shavaha Na tata tapyate vidda Uman banais tu marmagai Yata tu danti mamasta Yasatam paruṣe shavaha Nātata tapyate vidda Puman banais tu mamagai Yata tu danti mamasta Yasatam paruṣe shavaha Nātata tapyate vidda Banais tu marmagai Yata tu danti mamasta Yasatam paruṣe shavaha Nātata tapyate vidda Uman banais tu marmagai Yata tu danti mamasta Yasatam paruṣe shavaha Na Not Tata
In the same way
Tapyate
is caused pain.
Vido
pierced.
Puman a person. Banai
by arrows. To
however.
Mamagai
going to the heart. Yata
as
Tudanti prick
Marmasta
attaching within the heart.
He
indeed Asatam
by evil persons.
Parusha
harsh words.
Ishavaha
the arrows.
Translation and purports by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Sharp arrows which pierce one's chest and reach the heart do not cause as much suffering as the arrows of harsh, insulting words that become lodged within the heart when spoken by uncivilized men. Translation responsibly. Sharp arrows
which pierce one's chest
and reach the heart
do not cause as much suffering
as the arrows of harsh, insulting words
that become lodged within the heart
when spoken by uncivilized men. Text 4. My dear Uddhava, In this regard, a most pious story is told, and I shall now describe it to you. Please listen with careful attention. Purport. The Lord will now relate to Uddhava a historical account which teaches how to tolerate the insults of others. Text 5. Once a certain sannyasi was insulted in many ways by impious men. However, with determination, he remembered that he was suffering the fruit of his own previous karma. I will now narrate to you his story and that which he spoke. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments as follows. Often those who give up the materialistic path and devote themselves to renunciation are attacked by impious persons. This analysis, however, is superficial since the punishment is actually the cumulative results of one's past karma. Such renouncements show lack of tolerance. Some renunciants show lack of tolerance when presented with the remnants of their previous sins and thus are forced to enter again onto the path of impious life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore instructs that one should become as tolerant as a tree. If a neophyte on the path of devotional service to the Lord's pure devotees is attacked by envious persons, he must accept it as a consequence of his previous fruitive activities. One should be intelligent and avoid future unhappiness by rejecting the ethic of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If one refuses to enter into enmity with envious men, they will automatically leave him alone. Amigyan, Timanandasya, Gyananjana, Shalakaya, Chakshuran, Malitam, Yana, Tasmai, Sri, Gurave, Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swa Vedantikam Vansha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishna Vebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanando Sri Advaita Gadadha Sridhasarana Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, one of the elements of spiritual life is called Swadhyaya. What does Swajaya mean? Swajaya.
Study.
Yeah. Swa means?
Yourself.
Yeah, yourself. And Swajaya means self-study. To analyze one's consciousness. So while studying the Shastra, one of the purposes or the approaches or the main approach, you could say, when studying Shastra is that we're meant to be introspective, which means we're meant to be looking within our consciousness, within our heart, and seeing what is there that is imperfect or impure, which needs to be removed, and what is ideal sadhacha. Sadhacha means ideal character or ideal behavior. So this is the methodology which transcendentalists use when they study the Shastra. We look within ourselves and we see, what is it that I have to remove? You look in chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita, first three verses, divine and demoniac qualities. So there are many demoniac qualities which are there. So you study, what are the demoniac qualities? Do they say? No, I think the divine qualities are listed first, right? First one to three is the divine qualities. So. Then the demoniac qualities are given. So you look at the demoniac qualities and then you meditate upon them. You think, what are these qualities? Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion, right? Impious qualities, unwanted qualities, unnatural qualities for the soul. And you meditate, how can I overcome these qualities? There is a methodology to overcome these qualities. Narottam Das Thakur, if you read Pratana or you read Prema Bhakti Chandrika, the Narottam Das Thakur says how to overcome these qualities. Right. Anger, right, must be only used in the service of Krishna to remove obstacles. That is the it is not that anger is does not have a use, but anger can only be used to remove an obstacle. If something is obstructing our service to Krishna, then we become angry to remove that obstacle. Right? Just like Arjuna did, just like Hanuman did. They're the famous examples. So anger becomes purified. The tendency to become angry becomes purified, but it must be controlled. Just like you see Srila Prabhupada, he became angry, but then the next moment he was completely transcendental once again. It wasn't that the anger was going on and on and on. It wasn't polluting his consciousness. It was simply something that he would use in order to remove an obstacle in Krishna's service. So this is the method of study which we need to use when we are studying the Shastra, when we study the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhakti Shastras. We see what are the good qualities, what are the negative qualities. Now, we see the good qualities and then we think, how should I develop the good qualities? No? Just like Mahaprabhu, he lists in Sanatan Shiksha, when he's teaching Sanatan Goswami, he says there are 26 qualities of a devotee. Right? Devotees have 26 qualities. Kripalu, Akrita Droha, Sachasara, Sama. Right? He lists 26 different qualities. So then, it is recommended by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that devotees should study those qualities on a kadashi. The purpose of a kadashi is to increase our hearing and chanting. That's why we minimize the eating and the sleeping on a kadashi. We don't just minimize the eating and the sleeping and then not increase the hearing and the chanting. Right? You increase your hearing and chanting on a kadashi. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says on a kadashi, you study the 26 qualities of the devotee. Right? And you think, what are these qualities? How can I develop these qualities? Right? The first quality is kripalu. Right? Kripalu means? Kripalu. Compassionate, right? First quality of the devotee is compassionate. That is the first quality. It's interesting because what is the second quality? Akrita droha. What is akrita droha? Akrita droha means non-defiant or humble, right? This is akrita droha. So humility is said to be the crest jewel of all qualities of the Vaishnava. Of all qualities, this is the topmost quality of a devotee, humility. But, interesting that Mahaprabhu mentions compassion even before humility. Meaning that this is the also the most important quality for a devotee to cultivate. A devotee must be compassionate. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says on a kadashi, then you can meditate on these qualities. So you can meditate on them as a whole, and think I need to develop all of them, or you can list them one by one and you can practice in between each ekadashi developing one of the qualities. Now there's 26 qualities and there's 52 weeks. 26 plus 26 equals? So that means in 1 year you should have all the qualities fully developed. If you start working on it. So first quality, compassionate. So then devotee thinks, how can I be more compassionate? So how can we be more compassionate? How can you be more compassionate? Yeah, preach. Yeah, go out and give Krishna to others. Half the time, the devotees spend half their lives worrying about their own problems. Hands up if you ever get on the mental platform. Hands up if you live on the mental platform. Okay. So. Okay. It's a little bit scary. My best friend. My mind. So, devotees get on the mental platform. So, if you want to get off the mental platform, stop worrying about yourself so much. One time my spiritual master, he said to me, he said, why do you want to do this? As something which I wanted to do. I wasn't overly attached, but it was just something I wanted to do. And he said, "Why do you want to do this?" And I said, "Because," and I said a few, you know, a reason why I wanted to do it. And he said, "Who cares what you think?" He said, "Who cares what you think?" Right? That's just selfish. All we worry about most of the time is ourselves. Oh, me, I haven't got this, and I haven't got that, and I haven't got that. Do you realize there's 6 billion conditioned souls on this planet at this point in time in human forms who also don't know about Krishna? And what are you doing about them? If you want to understand what is compassion, then you study the personality of Jayapataka Swami. Then you will understand what compassion actually is. Someone who has had a stroke, someone who has had a most severe medical case in which they said he would never be able to use his body again, right, and is in a state of material disrepair, his material body is not cooperating with him. He's suffering severely, materially speaking, and still he is preaching. Right? This is compassion. He could just be thinking, "Oh, he's not even thinking about himself. He doesn't. He's only looking after his body because he sees the body is a yantra or a instrument to be used in the service of Krishna. So he's looking after the body just so he can preach Krishna consciousness, look after others. If you want to overcome your problems, then start worrying about other people's problems. You're only caught up on your problems because you're just being self-centered. Right? An advanced devotee does not think of themselves all the time. Of course, we have to be balanced in Krishna consciousness. It means we have to look after ourselves. We have to have enough time to do our sadhana properly. We have to take care of our spiritual lives. We have to have enough relaxation. We have to look after our health. All these things are not maya. They are necessary. They are part of being a balanced devotee, a balanced human being. Just like you see His Holiness Devan Rita Swami, he goes for a swim 3 times a week or more. Right? Looks after his body. This is not maya. This is so he can do more preaching. Devotees have to look after their diet. We have to do all these things. But that is just so that we can keep ourselves balanced so that we can help others become Krishna conscious. That is the quality of a devotee. So if you are too absorbed in your problems, then start worrying about other people's problems. Just like today, I'm going to go and visit a couple of devotees who are in hospital, right? Who are suffering. That's the whole point of being a devotee. The whole point of being a devotee is that you have to look after other devotees. So that's why we practice Krishna consciousness. That's why we keep ourselves fixed up in Krishna consciousness. The whole point of being fixed up in Krishna consciousness is so that we can look after other devotees. That is the point, right? And when you become absorbed in looking after other devotees, then you don't worry about yourself so much, right? Krishna will take care of you. Krishna already said that in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, what did he say? Sarvadaman parijaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. Sarva pap means your problems. Sarva pap means all of your problems. Moksha yishami ma suchaha. I will take care of them. Now, do you think Krishna won't take care of your problems? Right? Is he taking care of you so far? Right? Have you had any problems since you've become a devotee? I haven't had any problems since I've become a devotee. Everything I need is there. Every day I have somewhere to sleep. Right? Every day I have something to eat. Right? I have enough money. I have enough material facility. Everything is there. Right? Krishna will look after the devotee. You don't have to get absorbed in yourself. You don't have to just worry about yourself. Advancing in Krishna consciousness means having faith. Faith means Krishna will look after us. Right? And why will Krishna look after us? Because it's not difficult for him to look after us. Right? It's easy for him to look after us. He can maintain everyone simultaneously to the fullest extent. Right? Because he's all powerful. So that means if we actually have faith in Krishna, we will not become so absorbed in ourselves. We only become absorbed in ourselves because we're lacking faith in Krishna. I'm thinking, oh, I have to make this adjustment, I have to make this arrangement. Krishna will look after you. Right? So a devotee, he tries to cultivate these qualities, positive spiritual qualities, such as compassion. Right? Now, if you develop these qualities, and if you consciously make an effort to develop these qualities, all of your problems will go far away and you'll become completely satisfied and happy. Right? Next quality is humility. Akrita droha. Akrita droha means, right, not defiant. Right? Always in the material world we are defiant. Spiritual life is based upon being undefiant. Right? That's why Krishna says, do you want transcendental knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita? Fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called transcendental knowledge, dhyana yoga. Do you want knowledge? Do you want dhyana? Right? Krishna says, if you want knowledge, you can do it like this, you can do it like this, you can do it like this. He says the brahmacharis will get it like this, the grihasthas will get it like this. But then Krishna weighs in with his opinion in verse 34, in chapter 4, which Prabhupada has said is the most important verse in the whole Bhagavad Gita. Now, tatvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya, being non-defiant, right? Being humble, being submissive, inquire submissively, right? This is how you make advancement, right? And this is how spiritual life progresses, when we become dependent upon our authorities, right? If you're feeling you have problems in your life, then take shelter of your authorities. They will look after you, right? That's what the senior devotees are there for. They're there to look after you. Right? So if you're having problems, you take shelter. Right? And if you have the right attitude of taking shelter, all your problems will go away. They'll be solved. Not that the problems will go away, but you will be able to deal with your problems. Right? Your problems will be minimalized. Just like one time, one of the devotees said to Prabhupada, he wrote a letter, he said, Prabhupada, I have this problem, I have that problem, I have this problem. Prabhupada said, put them all in front of me, right? And in one kick, I will remove all of them. Right? So we take shelter, right, of our authorities, right? And then our problems will be diminished. They will disappear. They will go away. You don't have to worry. Yeah? We only get into anxiety when we don't take shelter of our authorities. And spiritual life is based upon taking shelter of our authorities. This is the mood of a devotee. Not that the devotee becomes defiant. Not that the devotee becomes rebellious against the authority. Right? That's when problems begin in our spiritual life. When we start thinking, I will take care of everything myself. You know, don't ever put yourself in a position where you take care of things by yourself. Always be dependent upon the devotees. Right? Like when you're in the brahmachari or brahmacharini ashram, it's more easy. But then when you become grihastha, you get independence. Right? You can go outside. You have your own scene. You have your own life to some degree. Right? But then it's very dangerous, because then you can become independent of the spiritual master, independent of your authorities, independent of the other devotees. Don't ever put yourself in that situation where you become independent. Always stay under the shelter of your authorities. Like that. This is how you remain safe in spiritual life. Then you don't feel any anxiety. Even when you're in the middle of anxiety, you don't feel anxiety. Right? It's not that anxiety stops. Anxiety is always there. What's the material world called?
Dukhalaya mashutam.
Material world is called kunta. Kunta means anxiety, right? It was on the front gate when we came here. When you left the spiritual world and you came through the coverings of the material universe, it was on the front gate. It was on the false ego, right? They had a big sign there saying anxiety, and you said, "Yeah, that's what I want." Right? So then, there you go. So don't blame Krishna if this place is full of anxiety. It's meant to be. You chose it. Right? Now what is the point of all the anxiety? So that you become detached from this place. Right? Because if this place was perfect, we would never leave it. But the anxiety makes us become detached from this material world. So when negative things happen in a devotee's life, a devotee does not feel sad or does not feel despondent. A devotee feels, as Bhakti Tirtha Swami, who is one of our Shiksha Gurus, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he always taught us that when something negative happens in a devotee's life, see it as something positive. It is something positive. It's an opportunity for you to advance in Krishna consciousness. It is an arrangement by Krishna himself to help you become detached from this material world. So therefore, nothing is negative for a devotee. Even when the worst things happen materially, for a devotee, we think this is Krishna's mercy. Right? And if you say, well, I'm not so advanced, I don't think you're like that, then you better start becoming advanced. Or you're just going to be a neophyte devotee your whole life. Right? You're going to be 94 years old, right, and still be a neophyte. Right? Still be completely absorbed in your mind. Right? 94 years old. Oh, I wish I had got married. Oh, you know, oh, I wish I had married someone else. Oh, I'm 94. Oh, my wife died 20 years ago. Oh. Devotees do not feel all this anxiety. Yeah. Because they're attached to Krishna, they're absorbed in Krishna. They do not feel anxiety. You have to sit a little bit. You can't put the back to Jagannath. Have to sit around more. Yeah. So, the devotee, he meditates upon developing these positive qualities. This is part of our swadhyaya. This is part of our shastric study. We meditate on good qualities. Right? Now, to develop good qualities, you simply study the Bhagavatam. Right? Because the Bhagavatam is full of descriptions of good qualities and of persons who have good qualities. By Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, by regularly associating with the Bhagavatam and the personalities in the Bhagavatam, this is how you develop good qualities. Right? That's why devotees have to study the Bhagavatam. Part of our association, or even most of our association with devotees, has to be based upon shastric study. Right? That's why when we get together, what do? Right? When a sannyasi comes, what do? We come and hear from him. Or when the senior Mataji comes, Narayani Mataji comes, right? Then we hear from her. That is the association we get. And by hearing and associating with the Bhagavatam, by reading the Bhagavatam, or by hearing classes on the Bhagavatam, then we develop the qualities by the association of the persons in the Bhagavatam. We also develop those positive qualities, which will attract Krishna. And we also have to find devotees living in this world who have those qualities. You have to find devotees who have developed these auspicious qualities and associate with them. Right? There are many, many devotees in this community who have very auspicious qualities. You have to get their association. Because by their association, you will also get those qualities. And you need those qualities to attract Krishna. You have to diminish your negative qualities. So this is swajaya. This is self-study. So here it is specifically mentioned that sometimes people speak to us with harsh words. Right? Does it ever happen to you? People speak to you with harsh words. What does the Bhagavatam say? What are those harsh words? Yeah, they are the fruits of your karma. They are your reactions for what you have done previously. Hands up if you ever spoke harsh words to anyone in any of your previous lives. Yes. Right? So then someone speaks harshly to you in this life and you get so offended. How dare you speak to me like that? Like that. Have you ever done it yourself? Like that. So then it comes to you and then you get all defensive, right? So the Bhagavatam teaches us to learn to see that these things are coming from previously. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, one should refuse to enter into enmity with envious people. This is how we deal with it. right? Is the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us. If someone is envious, means they're not even a devotee. Like sometimes you run into people who are just don't have good character, and they treat you. You don't even get into it with them, right? You just let it go, right? You just see this is just a reaction from the material. This is just the modes of nature. This person is tamasic. He's rajasic, right? So we don't get into it with them. You just let it disappear. If someone you know speaks to you very harshly, that's more difficult. Right? That becomes more difficult. Right? If an envious person does it, that's easy. We can let that go. But if someone you know does it, it's like a fellow devotee does it, that is more difficult. But still, you have to learn to tolerate. You don't have to be reactive. We have to learn this quality, not to be immediately reactive. Because as soon as you react, then you just instigate another cycle of karma. Then it just means someone speaks to you harshly, you speak back harshly, and then you've just opened up another bottle of karma, which will just come to you again and again in the future. If we learn to be a little tolerant, a little humble, in other words, if we learn to become a little advanced in Krishna consciousness, then we just tolerate these things. Right? Especially when the senior Vaishnavas speak harshly to us, we have to become a little tolerant. Just like sometimes the senior devotees who I work under, sometimes they speak to me a little harshly. But I'm trying to learn that when they do that, just to tolerate. See them, they are the senior devotee, right? They have some prerogative. If they're doing it too much, if it becomes an abusive situation, then we have a right to complain, and we should complain to some other authority. Like that. We should not allow ourselves to be abused. That's not correct. But if sometimes some of my authorities, they speak to me a little harshly, but that's, I'm trying to learn to tolerate that, accept that. And if you do, then the person becomes pacified very quickly. Right? But if you become immediately reactive, right, then what happens? When you react, then they react more, and then it just blows out of proportion. Now, words are very powerful. If you speak harsh words to someone, it can destroy relationships. Relationships which have been there for years and years and years can be destroyed in a few moments just by harsh words. So we have to learn to overcome this temptation to speak harshly to others. Right? Entire kingdoms have been destroyed by harsh words. Right? So many times wars began between countries just by harsh words. Right? In the early 1980s, America and Russia almost went to nuclear war, although the public was not fully aware of it at the time. They were minutes away from nuclear war, just because people were communicating to each other in a negative kind of way. You know, everyone's ego was up, like, you back down, no, you back down, no, you back down. Unfortunately, someone did back down at that point in time, and then things became pacified. So devotees need to learn this quality of tolerance. Now, this is advanced Krishna consciousness. This is the third verse of Shikshastika. Lord Chaitanya says, Trinadapi sunichena trorapi sihishnuna amanena manadena kirtanyaha sada hari. Lord Chaitanya says that actually Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that this verse should be worn around the neck by the devotees like the Kanti Mala. Do you ever take off your Tulsi beads? Your Kanti Mala? Right? We never take them off. Right? So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says a devotee takes the Maha Mantra. You're given the Maha Mantra at initiation. Even if you're not initiated yet, you've been given the Maha Mantra through disciplic succession, through Prabhupada. Right? So you take the Maha Mantra, and just like our beads are strung on a thread, so we string the Maha Mantra with this verse, Trinadapi sunichena, Tarorapi sihishnuna, Amanina manadena, Kirtanyaha sadahari. And you always wear that on your neck. Right? This is the instruction of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Wear it on your neck. Because your neck is where your voice comes from. Right? And we don't want to hear arrogant speech. And we want to hear humble speech, tolerant speech. So wear it on your neck. Keep yourself tolerant and humble. Now, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's guru, he says that this verse, Trinada Pyasunichena, this is the Siddha Pranali mantra for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. What is a Siddha Pranali mantra?
Which is perfection.
What's it?
Which is perfection.
Yeah, it is a mantra which gives Siddha. Siddhi. Siddha means perfection. Siddha Pranali means you get a mantra from your guru, but this mantra will give you perfection. What is the mantra which makes us perfect? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. That is your Siddha Pranali mantra. But that mantra only works when you thread it with Trinada Pisuniche Na, Tarora Pisi Ishnu Na, Amani Na, Manaje Na, Kirtaniya Hasada. It only works. It doesn't work if you don't chant in that mood. If you don't develop the qualities in that mantra, you will not get the perfection of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The mantra is perfect, but you have to become perfect. You have to chant it properly. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Always chant. If you want to always chant, you have to develop the rest of the qualities in the mantra. Trinadapi Sunichena. Become more humble than a blade of grass. Alright? If you go and step on the grass, does it complain? Right? If someone steps on you, do you complain? Yeah, you complain. Someone said, oh, someone kicked me. Or someone spoke harshly to me. Who is that person anyway? And then we go and we make gossip all around the temple. Oh, that person's not very nice. Because they spoke harshly to me. So I'll go and criticize them behind their back all around the temple and try to turn everyone against them. Like that. So that is not the humility of a grass. A grass gets stood upon and does not complain. We get spoken harshly, we should not complain. If we're actually advanced, we'll think, oh, that's just because I spoke harshly to other people in my previous lifetime and in this lifetime, and I deserve it. I deserve worse. So, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Sahishna, Tarorapi Sahishna. Become more tolerant than a tree. Right? We have to develop this quality of tolerance. This is what has been spoken of here. Right? Tolerate. We're not very tolerant, are we? Right? Someone just slightly looks at us the wrong way. Right? We're going around Tulsi, circumambulating Tulsi after Mangaladi, and someone just barely touches us and we're like, who is this person? It's ridiculous. Very tolerant. 5 o'clock in the morning. Don't you touch me. That's so pretty. No, we practically don't even have a drop of tolerance. Right? And we're meant to become tolerant as a tree. Right? You can only advance when you become tolerant like a tree. Right? So you have to learn to tolerate. Just like my spiritual master, he said to me, he said, who cares what you think? You know, that's a very good instruction to get from your guru. Who cares what you think? Because you know what that means? That means no one really cares what I think. And actually, you know what the actual fact is? No one really cares what I think. You know. So this is actually the fact. So you've got to realize that. Because you think that what you think is so important, but no one else really cares. No one else really cares what you think. Oh, I think this. No one really cares. Right? So we have to become tolerant. You have to understand you're not that important. We know you think you're very important, but you're actually not that important. You're important to one person, right? You're important to Krishna and Radharani and Lalita, Vishaka, Tungavija, Chitra, Champakalata, Induleka, Sudevi, and Rangitana, and all the Manjaris. And actually, you're important to everyone in the spiritual world. And you're important to everyone here as well. But you should not think you're important. That's the point. You should not think I am significant. Burujan Prabhu told this, he gave this example. He said that he was reading one of the books by the Goswamis, and describes in the beginning of the book how Krishna goes and herds the cows, and Krishna has 900,000, Nanda Maharaj has 900,000 cows. So when Krishna goes out with the cows, it says it looks like an ocean of milk. Now when you look at Krishna herding the cows, it's like an ocean of 900,000 cows surrounding Krishna and the cowherd boys. Looks like an ocean of milk. So then Burujan Prabhu said, he was meditating on that description, and then he thought, I'm just one of the insignificant little persons in this picture. I'm just an insignificant little servant. Maybe I'm just one of those cows, or I'm just one of the gopis, or just one of the cowherd. I'm just one little insignificant devotee in that whole picture of hundreds of thousands of devotees. And then he said, he thought to himself, he said, do I really want to be in this movement? Do I really want to be in this movement? Because that's what this movement's all about. Becoming an insignificant servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Insignificant. Not, no one special, no one important. Of course you are special and important, but you know, compared to, you're just one devotee. So then we have to think, is that what we want? Because that is what we will get when you go to the spiritual world. You're not anyone prominent. All the prominent positions are already taken in the spiritual world. Radharani is already there. And Jiva Goswami says, Radharani is enough. Right? Krishna is fully satisfied just with Radharani's association. He doesn't even need anyone else. Right? And then there's so many exalted, qualified assistants. And then we're just like the servant of 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 the servant. That's who we are. So are you going to be satisfied with that? So you have to develop that quality. So you should begin to cultivate that consciousness. Then you can be tolerant. Yeah? The only reason you're not tolerant is because you think you're very prominent. You think you're very important. You think you're very significant. How dare you touch me? Like that. How dare you take the last piece of avocado for breakfast? Just before I get it. Like that. So you have all of your... Now this is all based on ego. So Lord Chaitanya says that to transcend this material energy, then you must develop. You must be more humble than grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others. Out of all the items in that verse, that is the most important. Right? And if you master that, you become perfect. You enter the spiritual world, actually. Offer all respect to others. What does that mean? It means offering all respect. Think of the person who you offer the most respect to. Who do you offer the most respect to? It's probably your guru, right? So you offer them, now think that you should be offering that much respect to every single person, right? That is Krishna consciousness. That is what pure devotees are like. You know, that is what Srila Prabhupada was like. One time the devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, everyone likes you. Prabhupada said, yes, because I like everyone. Right? That is a pure devotee. So you have to develop that quality. You know, not just a little respect. Not like someone walks past you in the temple and goes, oh, Prabhu, Prabhu, and you go. Yeah, that's not respect. That's a little respect, but that's not what it means. That's not all respect. And it's dangerous, because when you become the senior devotee or the more advanced devotee, everyone offers you respect. But then the danger is that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, then you can start riding the waves. Right? Now you're more advanced, now you're more senior, and everyone offers you respect, and now you can like enjoy that. You know, there's like a wave of respect coming and a wave of appreciation. And you can just surf on that and ride on that, and you can think, oh, this is really far out. You know, I can just walk in the temple and everyone starts going like this, and you think, oh, this is really far out. Right? And then you get carried away on that wave of material consciousness, like that. So, all devotees, no matter if you're big or small, because we're all small actually, right? Then you always have to keep in the consciousness that you are the servant of the other devotees. Right? Even though your service as a senior devotee might be to look after the younger devotees, so you take a different role, but still your whole life is based upon service. Offering respect to everyone and not respecting any respect for yourself. What does that mean? It means not expecting any respect for yourself. Right? That is perfection. Right? And I personally am a long, long way from that. Not expecting any respect. Right? I can probably get away with, you know, some respect. You know, I don't need heaps to keep going as a devotee, because you don't get heaps anyway. Right? So I don't need heaps, but I need some. Like that. But the Lord Chaitanya says, not any. Right? Don't want any. Right? Don't desire any acknowledgement. Just do your service. And you see there are some devotees, even in this temple, you see there are some devotees, they do not require any respect to do their service. They just do their service. And they do it for Krishna. And they do it for Guru. And they are totally satisfied. That is Krishna consciousness. You don't have to worry, because devotees will give you respect anyway. So you don't have to hanker for it. It just comes naturally. But for a pure devotee, they offer all the credit back to their spiritual master. This is reality. So here, the Avanti Brahmana is teaching us to become tolerant. And you have to become tolerant in this world, because this world is not a nice place. People are not very nice. That's the nature of Kali Yuga. People are developing negative qualities and they're not treating each other properly a lot of the time. So you have to learn to become tolerant. And in terms of our association with other devotees, we have to develop an ideal atmosphere. Right? It has to be different to what's outside in the material world, because the material world is not working and people are learning to treat each other more and more impersonally. So the devotees have to go exactly the opposite way. We have to create exactly the same atmosphere which is found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita within the Srimad Bhagavatam, where devotees treat each other with great kindness and love and respect and affection. Right? And when we develop that atmosphere, that will attract people to Krishna consciousness. Like that. So we have to cultivate that. It has to become real. It's not something we read about in the books and we get to if we ever go back to the spiritual world. That's what the association of the devotees has to become like. Then everyone will be satisfied and then more and more people will become attracted. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. In the spiritual world, Krishna is so powerful that when he has picnics with the cowherd boys on the bank of the Jamuna, and Krishna sits in the middle and says, like, the whirl of the lotus flower and then all the petals. So all the cowherd boys, the Dwadasha Gopals, the 12 prominent cowboys, they sit right around him, and then the next 24 and then the next 48, and then it goes, expands out. And it describes in the pastimes, in the commentaries of the Acharyas, that Krishna sits in the middle, and every single cowherd boy who's sitting there in that picnic thinks Krishna is sitting and looking straight at them. So that's Krishna. So you don't have to worry about going to the spiritual world and not getting enough association. You don't have to think, oh, well, you know, my number is number 1,246,000. And they're going to call me up in about 20 years time, and I'm going to go and put a garland on Krishna and Radharani. So I'll run up this is my big moment. It only comes one every 2 million years. And put a Dalai Lama. And then they said, it's not like that. It's not like that. Somehow, by Achinchi Shakti, by his potency, he gives everyone association. Everyone gets association. And we'll just leave it up to him to work it out. Because he works it out. Just like when he dances with the gopis, it says there are 3 billion gopis dancing, and he dances with every one of them. Right? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says there's only one Krishna, and he moves so quickly in between all the 3 billion that appears he's standing right next to them. Right? But actually, it's just one Krishna just moving so quickly that every time they look, he's just there. He's just standing there. But then he's just moving quickly. That's Krishna. He can do whatever he wants. Other times it says he expands. He expands when he's next to all of them. But at other times it says that it's even more far out to think that he's just standing in one place with Radharani, and he's just going. But he's going so quickly, everyone just thinks he's just standing there. And he's standing there. Like that. So this is our God. Right? No one even comes close to our God. You know, people worship. Most people don't even have an idea of what God is, and those who have an idea of what God is, it's just, once you've come across Krishna, everything else is just like, you know, it's kind of like Coke and Pepsi. You know, you've got the real thing, and then you got like the, you know, like that. That wasn't a very good example. Yeah, that wasn't very good. Okay. Yeah, it's like the real thing and the not real thing. So when you come across Krishna, there's just like everything else is secondary. What's that? Yeah, and comparing something ecstatic to something mundane. It's like I was listening to a lecture of my guru, Maharaj, recently, and he said one of the main reasons he's a devotee is because Krishna is God. How could we ever leave? Where else are you going to go? No one else has got Krishna, so where else are you going to go? We've got Krishna, you know. So why would you go and worship some other form of God? There isn't another form of God. There's Krishna. Krishna is obviously, he's Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. He's the most attractive personality. No one even comes close to him. Not that. And on Friday, what's going to happen? Radha and Krishna are going to come off the altar. Mm-hmm. They're going to come over here, and they're going to come into the Kirtan Mandap, and they're going to get under the hooks, and they're going to swing, and we can all swing them. You know, it's very, very, very special. It's my favorite festival of the whole year. You know, nothing comes close to Jhulan Yatra. It's the most ecstatic of all the festivals. So they will come, and when they come, they go onto the swing. They perform Jhulan Yatra every day in the spiritual world. They don't just say, okay, it's August the 16th. Okay, Radharani, hop on the swing. It's not like that. Every day in the spiritual world they do Jhulan Yatra. Yatra means festival. Right? Every day they have a festival. The whole world, spiritual world, is just a continuous festival. Right? It's like Indrajumna Swami's Polish tour. Just going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. That's what it is. And even more powerful and ecstatic. It's just all the spiritual world. It's just a continuous festival. So they do Jhulan Yatra every day. So Radha and Krishna, they get on a swing. You know, just like sometimes you see in the playground, and they have the swings where you sit opposite each other. So Radha and Krishna get on a swing, and they sit opposite each other, like this. And then they swing. And then they're going up, and they're getting higher and higher. And then Krishna, every time they go down, and he flips his legs up, and he goes like that, so they go higher. So they go, and then Radharani starts getting scared, right? Because Krishna's going, and then she's really holding on, and then he starts going, and then he goes, and then they spin, they keep going around, and they spin right up onto like a branch. There's a branch on the tree, and they keep going, and then they wind up on the branch. And Radharani's screaming. She's like, and then they run along the branch, and then they finally stop, and then she jumps into Krishna's arms like that, and Krishna just goes So this is Jhulan Yatra. Sometimes it says that there are big swings, and the swings are shaped like a lotus flower, and Radha and Krishna sit opposite each other, and then Lalita, Vishakha, Tungabhija, Champakalata, Chitra, Induleka, Sudevi, Rangadevi, the Ashtasakis, they sit around them. Right? And maybe even more gopis get on there as well. And they big swing, and everyone sits around, and all the mantras push, and the swing goes back and forth, and sometimes it goes like around, big circle motions like that. These are the pastimes in the spiritual world, ecstatic, Jhulan Yatra. So you can meditate on these things when they come off the altar, and you can swing them like that. Where would you go? Where else can you go in the world where you get to see this? Just like if you go to the Vatican, which is the biggest church in the world practically, you go to the Vatican and you go in and you see the throne of God, big gold throne, right? And there's no one sitting there. Can you imagine going to one of the temples? You go to Vrindavan, you go to Radhashan and Sundar, you go to Krishna Balaram Mandir, and then the curtains open, Radhashan and Sundar aren't there. So just an altar. Right? This is what you get in the other religions. You just get a seat and there's no one sitting on the seat. What happened? You know? He went down to the Hare Krishna temple to do Jhulan Yatra. That's why they can't find him. Maybe go to the other churches, right? He's not sitting there. Right? Because he's down here sitting on the altar. Then so this is our God. Nothing compares to Krishna. Any other points?
And we were talking last time, we are dogs of Krishna. Dogs of Krishna.
Krishna's dog. Any other points?
Wait, did you read about going around the branch?
I haven't read it, but I've heard it told in Vrindavan by Dinabandhu Prabhu. There used to be a tree in Radhakund where you actually saw the branch was like the two branches were like that.
Yep.
The tree was there, but then someone cut it down for firewood. That's it. When I first went to Vrindavan, the tree was there, but now it's not there. But if you go with Dinabandhu Prabhu, he takes you to the place and he tells you the pastime.
Dinabandhu's coming in December.
To Melbourne? Really?
The arrangement's there.
Wow. That will get you off the mental platform. If you're having troubles in your spiritual life, just hang around till December, right? And Dinabandhu Prabhu will fix everything up. He is a bridge basi, like that. He's an exalted devotee of Krishna, always thinking of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Any other points? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.